We're now going to hear God's word, and our reading today is from John chapter 3. John chapter 3, from verse 1 down to verse 21. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the deeds you are doing unless God was with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is God's word. We pray that he would bless that reading to each one of our hearts. I once heard the well-known preacher Alistair Begg tell the story of a young boy in school who was asked by his teacher to write an essay on his family origins. So the boy went home and he asked his mum, "Mum, where did you come from?" And she told him that her parents had found her in a catalog. And then he said to her, "And where did I come from?" And she said, "Oh, I found you behind a bush." And then he said, "And what about Grandpa? Where did he come from?" And his mum gave him some other very unlikely story. The wee boy went back to school and he wrote his essay. And he obviously knew far more than his parents thought, because the first line in the essay went like this: "It would seem as if there has been no natural childbirth in our family for three generations." Now, if Alistair Begg could get off with telling that story, I hope I can too. The reason I tell that story is that in our passage today, when Jesus spoke about the new birth, Nicodemus thought that he was talking about something natural. But he wasn't. He was talking about something spiritual and something that all of us must experience if we're going to heaven. Jesus makes no bones about it. If we're not born again, we're not on our way to heaven. If we are born again, then we are already members of the kingdom of heaven. So what I would like to do this morning, very simply, and I'm going to tell a few stories seeing there are some children present in the service, I want very simply to look with you at the new birth. Not an exhaustive treatment, obviously, because that would take us forever. And the reason I say that is because there's a mystery about the new birth that none of us can fully fathom, no matter how experienced and long-standing we may be as Christian men and women. There's an element to the new birth that is beyond our understanding. But the great fact is that we're not to lean on our own understanding, we're to trust in the Lord, and we're to look at what His Word has to say to us about the new birth. So I want to try and handle this subject in as simple a way as I can, by looking first of all at what is not meant by the new birth, and then at what is meant by the new birth, and then why the new birth is so necessary, and then how the new birth happens, and finally, what the results are of the new birth. So these five things, very, very simply. To begin with, what the new birth is not. The story I told about the wee boy reminds us, as we look at Nicodemus's passage, that the new birth is not just something that is outward. It's not that we turn over a new leaf. It's not that we just make ourselves better on the outside. When we are born again, then things will change on the outside as well as on the inside. But to turn over a new leaf is not enough. That is not what's meant by the new birth. Neither does Jesus mean that we're born again if we're orthodox in what we believe. We can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in our heads. We can tick all the boxes of doctrine and still not be born again. I mean, Nicodemus was someone who knew his scriptures, but he didn't know the Savior at this point, although the evidence is there that he did come to know him subsequently, or perhaps even as a result of this time that he spent with him. Don't rely for your salvation on the fact that you know your Bible, no matter how well you know it. Yes, it's important to know the Bible. We can't know the Bible well enough, but to know the Bible in our heads is not the same as to be born again of the Holy Spirit. Nor does it mean that we're born again if we openly profess faith in Jesus. We can be baptized, we can take communion, we can be members of the church, we can be office bearers in the church, we can be ministers in the church, we can be all of that. But that's not what Jesus is saying when he's talking about the new birth. He's not saying that we can be sure that we're born again if these things are true of us. So you see, he's not talking about something that an outward show. Think of a clock. If you've got a broken down clock, it's bang on time twice a day. If you happen to look at the clock at that precise moment, you wouldn't think there was anything wrong with it. It looks good. It looks as if everything is in place. But that only happens twice a day if there's no battery or if there's no mainspring or if it's not working. So we must be very, very careful that we don't depend on the way we are on the outside or think that that is what Jesus is on about when he talks about the new birth. So what is it then that Jesus is talking about? What does the Bible say to us about the new birth? Well, first of all, it says that it is something that is created by God. It is God who does it. There are lots of scriptures that speak to us of being created by God in Christ, a new creation. God is the one who does it. He's the one who brings about the change. And it's not just created by God, it's not just brought about by God, but it's something that is complete in the sense that it affects every area of our life. The story is told of someone who went into a gun shop in London in the days of Spurgeon. Spurgeon was our minister in London long before anyone here was born. And this man went into the shop, and he had an old gun with him. And he said to the man behind the counter, I think my gun needs a new lock. So the gunsmith looked at it, and he said, yes, it needs a new lock. But then he said, I also think it needs a new stock. And then he looked at it again. He said, I also think it needs a new barrel. So the man said, you might as well give me a new gun. Lock, stock, and barrel. That's an old phrase for if something is total or complete, we need something totally new. And that's what happens when people are born again. They become new creations in Christ Jesus. The old things pass away. God has made all things new. It's God who does it. We're told in the Bible that we're created in Christ Jesus in order that we might do good works. But there's something else too. When someone is born again, then others will be aware of it. Others will be conscious of it perhaps far earlier than we are aware of it ourselves. I think it was one of the preachers the other week spoke about this. When a baby is born, how many people in here remember the minute you were born? Don't think very many do. I doubt if any of us remember the minute we were born. But there may be people who remember when we were born. If you've got your parents, they'll remember when you were born. And they'll tell you why they knew you were born, because they were hearing you cry. They were seeing the signs. And it was only later on that you yourself came to realize, hey, I've been born. It happened. And you weren't even aware of it at the time, but you're aware of it now. Anyone in here who's not aware that you've been born? No, we're all conscious that we've been born. And when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit and the new birth, then at different stages, in different ways, with different people, we come to realize, hey, I've been born again of the Spirit of God. The signs are there. And we'll see what some of these are before we finish. But it's something that God wants us to be aware of. If we have been born again, he wants us to know it. Your parents want you to know that you belong to their family. Surely they do. Well, if that's the case with your parents, God wants us to know if we belong to his family. God doesn't want us to be in doubt about it. God wants us to be conscious of it. God wants us to know that we've been born again of his Spirit if we have been. He wants us to be aware of it. And if we're today wondering if you've been born again of the Spirit or not, then, as we're going to see before we finish, ask God to show you from the Bible whether or not the signs are there that you are a child of God. There's something else too. With this new birth thing, some people become aware of it far sooner than others. It might take a long time for some people to realize it, whilst others are aware of it almost immediately. I mean, I remember the week my life changed. It was here in Inverness. It's 49 years ago. And I can pinpoint the week. I can't pinpoint the minute I was born again, but I can kind of pinpoint when I became aware of it. There are others who have to wait much longer than that before they become aware of it. But God wants us to know it. God wants us to know that we've been born again if we have been born again. You know, it's like a plane. I remember years ago I was teaching in a place called Uist. And I used to fly in a little plane from Stornoway down to Benbecula, or Benbecula, as some of the incomers called it. And you were aware of every bump. And you knew the moment you had landed. You knew that you had touched down. And on another couple of occasions, I remember flying to America, and it was in one of these big planes, and you had landed before you realized that you'd landed. And that's the way it is with people becoming conscious of God working in their lives. Some have landed before they realized they were in, and others are aware of every bump along the way. God deals with us differently, but it's always God who does the work. So we've looked at what it isn't, and we've looked at what it is. And as I say, this isn't an in-depth study by any manner of means. I'm just trying to speak as plainly as I can in order that with the help of the Holy Spirit we'll all understand what Jesus is saying. So the third thing is, why is it necessary? Why is it necessary for us to be born again? Well, you say, well, because Jesus says it is. And if Jesus says it is, then it is. And leave it at that. But no, we must explain why. First of all, there's man's condition. See, the Bible tells us that God is holy, right? The Bible tells us that God is just perfect. And it also tells us that we're not. And so something must happen before we who are not perfect, we who are not holy, can be right with God. The Bible says, can two walk together unless they're in agreement? And it also tells us that because we've gone against God, we're not in agreement with him. So that needs to be put right. All of us need to be right with God. And that's what happens when we become Christians. We are made right with God. So it's important that we be made right with God. And that's true of every single one of us. It's vital that we be made right with God because of God's character. But then we look at the cross of Jesus. And we look at the cross and we know the story of Jesus coming into the world to die for our sins. And we realize that unless Jesus died on the cross for our sins and in order to make a way for us to come to God, then the cross is an awful thing. Because if the cross cannot save us, Jesus never sinned, and the cross doesn't make sense unless it's for people like us that Jesus died. And of course it is for us that Jesus died. And the Bible tells us that it is only if we're trusting in Jesus, and we're going to see that before we finish, that we can be sure that we are born again. If we think we can make it ourselves, we think we can save ourselves, then we won't see that we need to be born again. There's a story told of a farmer and a joiner. And the farmer was a Christian and the joiner wasn't, right? And the farmer had big, big fields. And one day he looked at one of his gates and he thought to himself, oh, that gate needs to be replaced. So he thought his joiner friend, who wasn't a Christian, would do the job for him. So he asked the joiner if he would do it, and the joiner said yes. And the joiner went to where the gate was, and he took all the measurements, you know, the length and the everything. And then he went away, and he did a gate for the farmer. And he thought to himself, oh, I'll put the gate in without telling him. And then I'll go and tell him, and he'd be so proud of the gate. So he managed to steal along one evening, and he put the gate in. And the next day, he went up to the farmhouse and he said to the farmer, I've done your gate. Come and see it. It's ready. Remember, the farmer's the Christian. The joiner isn't. So the farmer goes down and he looks at the gate. And the joiner is there beaming. And he says, what? You know, he's thinking to himself, I've done a perfect job of this gate. And the farmer looks at it and he says, aye, but I think it can be better yet. So the joiner didn't know what on earth the farmer meant. But then the farmer went back to his own shed and he came down with some tools and he started adding bits to the gate and taking bits away from it. And the joiner was livid. Hey man, what do you think you're doing to my gate? And the farmer said, what you're doing with Jesus. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the perfect gate provided by God for us to get to heaven. And you, by not trusting, are trying to add bits of your own works, and in so doing, you're taking away from what Jesus has done for you. I am the gate. It's only by Jesus that we get in. And the story is told of how that led to the joiner coming to know Jesus for himself. The work of Jesus shows us that we need to come to God by him. And when we're born again of the Spirit, we're aware of that and we're trusting in what Jesus did and in that alone. In our passage this morning, Jesus says, you must be born again. And then when Nicodemus wonders what on earth he's talking about, he says it again, do not be surprised that I tell you, you must be born again. There's a story told of a minister who was preaching one Sunday morning on the text, you must be born again. And when he went to the door, and different people say different things to ministers at doors, you know, this woman came up to him, I'm surprised, she said. I'm surprised that you told us, good church-going people, that we must be born again. I'm really surprised. So the minister said, well, come back tonight. So she came back that night, and he took us his text, do not be surprised that I say to you, you must be born again. See, it's necessary. It's vital. And Jesus says that that is the case. Someone else asked a preacher, why do you preach on you must be born again? And he just said, because you must. You must. That's why. So how does it happen? How does it happen? Well, in the passage, Jesus makes it clear that it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It was quite windy the other day, you know. We've been doing some renovations just now, and we had stuff out in the back, at the back of the house, and I was afraid that the wind would blow it away. It can get quite windy in these parts. Well, Jesus speaks of the work of the Spirit as being like the wind. Now, sometimes it can blow a gale, and you know the wind is there. Other times, you're not even aware that the wind is there, but if you've got some trees, you hear a little bit of rustling and you realize, yeah, there's still some wind, even though you can hardly hear it, but you see its effects. And Jesus says, that's what being born again is like. It's the work of the Spirit, and it's like the wind. Some people, they have dramatic experiences at conversion, and others, the very opposite. Very much the opposite. But it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God who does it. There's a story told in the Bible about a woman called Lydia, whose heart God opened. The Lord opened her heart as she was listening to the Scriptures. And it's through the Scriptures that God does the work. That's why the Bible is so important. So that as we read our Bibles, we pray for the Holy Spirit to apply what we're reading to our minds and hearts and lives. I remember once hearing the story of a woman who wasn't all that regular at church. And then she started coming more often. And the minister noticed. And he went to her and he said, I'm not going to say her name in case she's watching. He said, I've noticed you're coming to church far more often now than you used to. Why is that? Oh, she said, it's since you've become a far better preacher than you used to be. And then he said to her, I've not become a better preacher than I used to be. The change is not in me. The change is in you. The change is in you. She was listening in a new way. She was listening like Lydia. And that is how it happens. The Spirit works. And the Spirit opens our minds and opens our hearts so that we begin to pay attention as we never used to the Word of God. And it's a sovereign work. God is able to work with instruments or without. It's all of God, and how thankful we should be for that. It's the work of God. So we've seen what it isn't. We've seen what it is, why it's necessary, and how it happens. And finally, and still just skimming the surface, what are the effects of being born again? Well, there's a great passage in 1 John that tells us what the effects of being born again are. Peter speaks of being born again by the living Word of God. John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commands. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Two or three things there, very briefly. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And we all say, well, I believe that. I'm sure if we were to do a straw poll of the congregation this morning, straw poll of the congregation, we would all, I believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. So we've got to ask, what do we mean by that? Do we just agree with it because everyone else tells us? Do we just agree with it because, well, that's what the Bible says? Do we just believe it because we trust those who are telling us these things? Or do we believe it because we're trusting in Jesus as the Christ? Is our trust in Jesus? Do we believe that Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, is the Christ who was to come into the world? Well, if we do, then we're born again. That saving faith in Jesus Christ comes from being born again of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it. Everyone who believes, that's who trusts in Jesus as the Christ, whose hope for eternity is in Christ alone. Anyone who believes that, and everyone who believes that, has been born of God. So is that you this morning? Is that me? Are we trusting in Christ? Or are we still trusting in something that is of ourselves? And then there is this, there is love. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Do we love God? Do we love God? Because we know that in Christ he has loved us and given himself for us. Has the love of God been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit? If it has, then you've been born again. You're of God. And he wants you to know it. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So we love the Father, we become his children, and we love one another as those who have God as our Father. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commands. Faith, love, and obedience. What kind of obedience? The kind of obedience that I think I might have mentioned when I preached here the other week that comes from the heart. I told the story then of the wee boy at school, and he'd been disobeying. He'd been standing up when he shouldn't be. And the teacher told him to sit down. So he sat down. And then the teacher's back was turned, and she thought, I wonder if he's still sitting down. Now, they've heard this before if they were here the other week, but if you weren't, I'm just telling you again. And she said his name, but I'm not going to say it in case it was you. Are you sitting down? And he replied, please, miss, on my outside I'm sitting down, but my inside I'm still standing up. And you see, the thing is, the obedience has to come from the inside, from the heart. And that's what John is saying. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commands and don't find them a burden. So what do you make of God's commands? Do you find them a burden? Do you find them just too much for you? Or do you delight in them because they're a reflection of God's own heart and you're delighting in God and you're delighting in everything that is of God? Well, if you are finding your heart's delight today in everything that is of God, then you've been born of him. And if you're not, then you need to ask whether or not, as yet, you have been born of him. Again, we're back to what Jesus is saying. Unless we're born again, there's no way we're going to heaven. So we all need to ask ourselves the question today, are we going to heaven? Are we right with God? Is the evidence there? Are we walking in the light as he is in the light? There's a story told, and I'm just about finished. And there's been a lot of stories this morning, but I want to keep the attention of the young folk as much as I can. A story told of an old country doctor who went to deliver a baby. And it was in the days there was no electricity. I really am back in the olden days today. No electricity, and they just had lanterns. So the doctor went into a room, and the mother and the father were there, and there was an older brother, and he was there too, and he had a lantern. And the baby was born. Then another baby was born. And then a third baby was born. And the boy immediately turned off the lantern, and he says, "I guess they're all coming out when they're attracted to the light." And you see, that's the way it is spiritually. That when we are born, we're attracted to the light. John 3, the passage that we were reading, tells us that at the very end. That light has come into the world. That's Jesus. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light. In order that his deeds, because he knows that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, that's the person who's been born again, comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has had done to him has been done by God. Born again, not of the will of man, not of the flesh, but of God. And so I finish by asking, are you born again? Am I born again? There is no more important question that we can ask. I mentioned earlier 2 Corinthians 5:17, and the Sing Scripture version puts it this way. If any person is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, because of God's salvation. He reconciled us to himself through Christ's propitiation and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. For God in Christ was to himself this dark world reconciling, not reckoning to our account our sins which were defiling. So we are Christ's ambassadors, on his behalf appealing, be reconciled to God through Christ, who is God's love revealing. For us God made the sinless one to be sin, us sin bearer, so that in him we might become God's righteousness forever. We urge you then, on God's behalf, accept his invitation, because this is the time of grace, the day of his salvation. You must be born again. Do not be surprised, Jesus says, that I tell you, you must be born again. Are you? Am I? Are we all born again here today? Lord, bless these surface thoughts on your word to us, and grant that each one of us might examine our own hearts as to whether or not we are born again. Hear us, Lord, and bless us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen.